light those candles and ring those bells. Our Jewish friends and neighbors, our six nights, tonight is the sixth night into the eight-day Hanukkah celebration. And our Christian friends and neighbors are three Sundays into Advent. And our planet is 4 days away from winter solstice. And everywhere, it seems, people are lighting candles, stringing lights, and taunting the sun to return. At solstice, the sun stands still, or at least it seems to. Daylight stops its retreat and ever so slowly begins its return. This time of year, we feel like the days are being swallowed into a sea of nights. Anyone feel that way as the dark creeps in? Mm-hmm. The kids talking about having to eat dinner and couldn't go outside to play after dark. Comes too soon. According to Michael Mead, author, mythologist, and storyteller, traditional cultures around the world imagined that the midwinter sun needed conscious help from people in order to avoid being devoured by the expanse of darkness that nips at the edges of life. One of those stories is the miracle of oil that lasted 8 days to keep the eternal flame in the temple burning until new oil was procured. Thanks to the Maccabees, the Jews had retaken the temple from the Greeks, and they were in the process of clearing the temple of idol statues and rededicating the temple to its original purpose. The small amount of oil should have only lasted for about a day, but the flame kept burning until the messenger returned 8 days later with more oil. The legend of oil does not appear in the text of the books of the Maccabees, but centuries after the defeat of the Greeks, this detail in the larger story of reclaiming the temple came to be a part of the Jewish text. Eventually, the miracle has become intertwined with the celebration of Hanukkah. The eternal flame or light of the temple is a connecting, it connects us, the modern day Jews, with the ancestors and stories of long, long ago. And as the light burns on the menorah, I look at our flaming chalice, our Unitarian symbol that has been burning since 1941. The flame is a symbol of our faith. It was originally designed by our Unitarian Service Committee as a symbol that was used to help people escape in the path of harm in World War II. It has become a unifying symbol, a part of who we are. Our UU ancestors, many of whom I know abhorred symbols, are nevertheless connected to us when we light our chalice. It is comforting to know that UUs across the country this morning are lighting the chalice just as we did, and that for decades, other UUs who have gone before also lighted the chalice flame. We are connected to each other, and in turn, we are connected to the larger human, cultural, and religious history of lighting a flame. Now, there are many symbols in this world serving all sorts of purposes, but few, if any, are as deeply interwoven into our human identity as spiritual beings. I do not believe that as a symbol, the lighting of a flame is accidental. We have always sought to bring light into the darkness. Our grandest celebrations have had their roots and bringing back the light. In the darkest time of year, almost every religion has a celebration of light. Even when religious roots are lost or go into shadow, the festivities continue. Light is essential to survival. Today, however, we seem to be focused on bringing back the dark ages. Even as the Hanukkah candles burn and the Christmas lights twinkle, the world seems to be closing in around darkness. As a culture, we are rolling back our hearts to a more closed, tribal, self-centric view of others and the world. This is a direction we have collectively chosen. And while we have a few victories, and yes, we must celebrate the victories, the reign of hard-hearted, conspiracy-laced, fake news as truth, the gospel of scarcity for the many and abundance for the few, that is all around. In a time of shriveled hearts, violence and conflict are on the rise. In the dark, fear is allowed to reign. Love and light become hidden treasures, increasingly banned from public view or practice. Commercialized light, however, can be on. The spiritual or inner light must remain unplugged. I could go on and on about the lights that need to be turned on in homeless shelters, food banks, health clinics, but you are familiar with all of this. The suffering is visible. It would be easy, in Mead's words, to be devoured by the expansive darkness that nips at the edges of life. Instead, for this moment, I would like to focus on our inner light, for if that light goes out, we are indeed devoured. In winter, whether it be physical, natural, or spiritual, the darkness surrounds us more closely. We are often afraid the light will not come back. But in our aloneness, we find that we see better. As Theodore Roeke wrote, "In a dark time, the eye begins to see." Darkness is an invitation. The ancient Celts believed the sun stood still for a moment between the two halves of light and dark for a brief respite so that we might recover from having too much of either. They also knew that going into the dark renewed our sense of sacredness of life. Without the renewal of sacred awareness, the dark elements, uninformed by the light, will play out in the height of day. In my life, I have been appalled at what I see happening around the world. But personally, I know too that I can act out of a dark place. When I do not take time to go deep, to experience the silence, and to reconnect with the deepest sense of who I am and how I am connected to the whole, I react instead of responding. Has anyone else ever reacted instead of respond? You don't really have to raise your hand, but I heard the giggle. Yep. I know I'm not alone. Life can come so fast, I don't have time to pause. And that, my friends, is a mistake. In my rush, I can blurt out words that cannot be taken back. I can rush into action without consideration. And I can embarrass myself and others by not being grounded. Now, sometimes I do have to speak or react in the moment. I can't always say, wait a minute, can you wait until I've had my time on that proverbial meditation cushion? Instead, I need to learn to have more interplay between my dives into the dark and my forays into the light. My introvert and extrovert need to talk to each other. They need to have conversation. I need to take advantage of the dark times in my life and perhaps create a few more as needed so I can do the introspection that is necessary for growth and wisdom. That said, I do not at all like dark times that I have had. Actually, I've hated them. Loss, grief, tension, conflict, struggle. You know them. I bet you know them. They grab you and they suck all the life out of you. But it's life's invitation into that darkness, that even when we go kicking and screaming and perhaps with a bucket full of tears, we find opportunity for renewal. In our darkest of winters, there is also another truth. The light of the flame never goes out. It is calling us forward with a renewed heart, a deeper understanding, and an increased capacity to love. In an essay titled Bringing Back the Light, Michael Mead wrote, "An old description of the human soul was the light found inside the dark, and the solstice presents a cosmological condition that reflects a human capacity to assist in renewal of life. When the world becomes darker, the inner light of the soul becomes more important. The light we discover in our own depths is a speck of the original star, a spark of life that connects us to each other and to the soul of the world. When the light of the soul grows within us, it also contributes to the light of the world." Hanukkah, the ancient Jewish celebration of light, asks of us another thing. It asks us to wait, to be patient. It asks us to trust. Will there be enough oil? Will I have to remain in darkness all the days of my life? Will the light return? Now, patience is not one of my gifts. I want answers now, sooner than later. I just want to read my lessons without having to do the personal experience part. Did anyone practice osmosis in high school doing their test? Did it work? Sleep on the book right next to the pillow? Now, by some standards, I'm relatively smart. You can just tell me something and I pick it up. But you know, just listening and hearing would be like taking a shortcut to the fullness of life. I have to go into the winter, into the dark, to become more of who I am. I can't just read it in a book. In our darkness, we see deeper into the world and into ourselves. We must find the truths, the memories, the stories, the creative imagination that will not abandon us. There we will find we are not alone. And from there, we can begin once again to respond to the world. The Maccabees had to fight the forces of dark with swords. Instead, we do it with light and love. Yes, I say, Turn on all those holiday lights. Let them bling and flicker and whatever you need to do, and light the candles. Light up the world. Beckon back the sun. And do this as well. This winter season, when we are at this moment when the sun stands still, know that the invitation to go into the darkness awaits. Find what is shrouded. Listen to that quiet voice inside. Hone your wisdom. Fortify your ability to respond, not just to react. The inner light of the soul is brighter and is a miracle that lasts far beyond the season. So if I might be so bold, and you might say brash, whatever manner that you witness to the dark, I invite you to go ahead and find that proverbial cushion and sit on it. The invitation to go into the dark is also a gift. I'll leave you this morning with one of Mary Oliver's shortest poems that she wrote. It is one of my favorites, and it has so much truth in it. I invite you to listen to this. Mary Oliver. Someone I loved once gave me a box full of darkness. It took me years to understand that this too was a gift. May the darkness in our lives be a gift of the season, and may that we find our light deep inside so that we can in turn let it shine for all the world. Blessed be. Amen.